Sonny Dollar.
Hi, I'm Betty Lewis.
Hi, sweetie.
Isn't this the most beautiful Sunday morning you ever saw? Or aren't you up and around yet?
Oh, wide awake and full of pep.
Then listen, dear, you know about the concert this afternoon at Memorial Hall.
Well, sure, I was going to call you, see if you'd like to be among those present.
I'd love to. And why don't we make a day of it?
Suits me fine.
Maybe pick me up for an early lunch, take a walk in the park,
uh-huh.
And go to the concert, and go somewhere and get married, and have dinner together, and maybe find something to do this evening?
Sure, why not?
You mean it, Johnny?
Sure, just let me put on my best bib and tucker and I'll... Whoa.
What's the matter?
Oh, somewhere along the line... Did I hear you say something about getting married?
Sure, why not?
Oh, well, now, look, honey, let's not kid about that.
Who's kidding?
Oh, honey, you know how I feel about you. And if it wasn't for this crazy, risky job of mine...
And it's all off?
Oh, no, let's face it, it doesn't really make sense right now.
Okay, Johnny. Bye.
Oh, no, wait. Betty. Hello. Oh, well, Dollar, you dope. You'd better drive on over and see that gal and try to... Oh, now, listen, honey, I... Well, what I meant to say back
yeah,
there...
Yeah, what did you mean? And what's this honey stuff?
Huh? Who's that?
Pat McCracken, Universal Adjustment Bureau.
On a Sunday morning?
On a Sunday morning. Listen, I've got to see you, Johnny, right away.
You mean for an assignment? Some insurance investigation?
I sure do. Now, listen...
No, sorry, Pat, I can't. Not right now.
Look, I'll run out over there to your apartment.
No, Pat, no.
Now, wait just
no,
a minute.
No,
Johnny.
I won't be here. Well,
you'd better be.
But I tell you... Hello? Hello? Oh, son of a gun, doesn't Pat realize that sometimes there are things more important than... Oh, well, I suppose I shouldn't have barked at him. Maybe after I kind of smoothed things over with Betty, I can... Okay, now listen, Pat. Instead of your coming over here, just give me a couple of hours to take care of something personal, and I'll drive over and see you, and you can tell me... Pat?
No, Johnny, this is George Reed at Lloyd's of England.
George?
I know this is a Sunday morning, and it's hardly cricket to cause you...
George,
to play,
I'm all tied up.
This is a real emergency.
I'm sorry, George.
It involves Alvin Peabody Cartwright.
Huh? That old crackpot?
Now, you know you really love that old character.
All right, so what? It just happens that right now
with
I've got...
More, he's probably responsible for more of the big fancy fees that have been paid you.
George, listen, I'm sorry, but nothing that involves Cartwright or anybody else can possibly be more important at the moment than something personal I have to do, and right away.
Nothing, Johnny?
Nothing.
Not even murder?
Huh?
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal... No, to Floyd's... Well, now, wait. Before this case was through, there were enough insurance companies involved to... Well, anyhow, it's an account of expenses incurred during my so-called investigation of the Five Down matter. Three phone calls, all within a couple of minutes, all demanding my services immediately. And I promised to call them right back. George Reed at Floyd's of England, Pat McCracken of Universal Adjustment Bureau, and frankly, more important than me... the best gal friend, Betty Lewis, on account of maybe I'd left the impression I was trying to give her a brush off or something. And as the people who listen to these reports know very well, that I would never, never do. Yeah, that's it. First I'd call Betty, but as I reach for the phone again... Johnny Dollar.
John, thank goodness I found you in.
Who are you?
It's vital that I see you at once, immediately.
Yeah, I said, who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
Oh, why, Johnny, this is Harry Branson,
oh.
Philadelphia Mutual Liability and Casualty Insurance Company.
Harry, look, if this call is about business...
Well, of course it is.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm all tied up. But if it's something that can wait...
I'm afraid not.
Because I have two or three other things that I have to attend to first.
So what I will do, John, is this. I will give you the address of where you must go.
No, sorry.
And you can fly on out there and do it.
Harry, no. I'm sorry, I'm really sorry.
I know you said that, but now, John...
Look, I... Well, as soon as I can get these other things cleared away, I'll call you back, huh?
Call me back?
Yes.
But good heavens, John.
I'll call you back.
John.
Holy. What is this anyhow? You'd think the world was coming to an end. Oh, now wait. Let me call back to Betty. Huh? Oh, come on. This is carrying things too far. Johnny Dollar.
Earl Foreman, Johnny.
Now, look.
Tri-State Life and Casualty.
Yeah, Earl. It's nice to... But listen, I'm sorry I can't talk to you right now.
But, Johnny, I want you to come out here just as quickly...
But I can't. That is...
Why... Now, listen, John.
I mean, at least not right away, Earl. Not right this minute, huh?
This is very important.
Well, something's come up. A lot of things have come up, and I can't even take time to talk to you until I... Listen, Hey, Earl.
I'm listening.
All right, let me call you back, huh? In a couple of minutes or maybe a couple of hours at the most, okay?
Well, as long as I can be sure you'll come out.
But I can't be... Oh, listen, I'll call you back. Oh, brother, nice, peaceful, quiet Sunday, huh? For all these guys, well, they've all been pretty good to me over the years, so if any of them has got a real problem... Oh, no. First, I got to call Betty and Pat things up. Oh, no. Believe me, this is impossible. Yeah? Go ahead. Ring. Ring your head off. Go ahead. When you decide there's no one here, I'll make the calls I promised, and I'll... And... Oh, well. Johnny Dollar.
Johnny, this is Buster.
Buster?
That's right. Buster Favor. Lake Mojave Resort.
Oh, well,
Arizona.
Buster, now listen to me.
Johnny, if you're on your way out to California... I've got to see
on my way out to...
So if you're taking a plane out to Los Angeles, why don't I drive on over?
Hey, did I say anything about going to California?
Oh, but I've got to see you, John.
Oh, Buster, look, please, believe me. With the crazy way things are going around here, believe me, I'm sorry, but I can't talk to you right now.
But this is important.
I know.
So,
sure
Johnny...
Is, but please, just give me a few, just give me a little while, and I'll get back to you.
Whatever you say, but when you do get
I'll
out
I'll get
here,
back to you. Telephone, so help me. If you ring once more. All right. Hello, listen, wherever you are, this is Johnny Dollar.
Nope, not this time. So guess again.
What?
I said to guess again. What's the matter with you? Don't you hear good?
Alvin Peabody Cartwright.
Well, of course I'm Alvin Peabody Cartwright. Who'd you think I am anyway?
Mr. Cartwright.
Johnny, you've got to come out here right away.
Yeah, out where? And listen, George Reed called me about you a few minutes ago. He said something about a murder.
Me? Murdered?
Well, that was the impression I got. He was...
I don't think so, Johnny. Wait a minute. I'll see you.
Oh, no. Listen, Mr. Cartwright.
No, you listen. It's vital that I see you right away.
Yeah, well, look...
I've still heard my summer place in Beverly Hills, Johnny. Always did get the seasons mixed up. Do you remember the place?
Oh, yes. I remember it very well. Now, listen.
That last time you came here was to prevent a murder.
I know. But Mr. Cartwright...
This time, believe me, Johnny, it's much worse. It's much more serious.
Well, what... All right, what is it, then?
Well, I can't... I honestly don't dare tell you over the phone, but Johnny, I beg of you, come out here right away.
But I've already told several people more serious than murder.
Believe me, boy, there is nothing that can possibly be more important than your coming here.
You mean that, don't you?
Please, Johnny, please. I'll be waiting for you.
And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Five Down Matter.
Phone calls, one on top of the other. First from Betty Lewis, and I'd really better patch things up with her. Then frantic calls from Pat McCracken, George Reed, Harry Branson, Earl Poorman, Buster Favor, and finally from old Alvin P. Cartwright, the latter sounding the most urgent of all. Not one of them had given me any details about the emergencies that prompted their calls. But these are men that I've been working for and with for years. And for my money, they're not only important to my insurance investigations, but they're the salt of the earth. And if it came to a matter of which one to favor over the others... Oh, but now wait. Wait a minute. Cartwright lived in Beverly Hills. George Reed was worried about Cartwright. Earl Foreman could be taken care of out there on the West Coast, too, and Buster Favor. Uh-huh. I got back on the phone and tried calling Pat McCracken. No answer. The same with George Reed, and with Harry and Earl and Buster. Even with Alvin B. Cartwright. And when I couldn't even reach Betty Lewis to apologize for... Okay, I tore out to Bradley Field. Expense account, I'd have won $170.40 for a plane ticket to Los Angeles.
Here you are, Mr. Dollar. Okay. Your plane is ready for takeoff.
Right, thanks.
I'm sorry again. I couldn't get you on a jet from New York to L.A.
That's okay.
But now, you better hurry or... excuse me just a minute, please.
Well, let me have the baggage check and I'll...
On this phone? Mr. Dollar.
Yeah?
Well, very well. Put the party on.
Oh,
this call's for you, sir.
Oh, okay. Johnny Dollar.
Your telephone exchange said they could get you for me.
Huh? Who's that?
But who else was it? It's your oldest, your dearest friend, Le Chagri.
Chagri? Louis de Marsac, the great cat?
But of course we should.
You're playing, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, look, Louis, I can't talk to you now.
But I must see
And
you.
I'm certainly not going to run over to Paris to see you.
But this is most important, Mr.
Dollar.
Yeah, okay. My plane for the West Coast, about to leave. I've got...
And I thought that for me, your oldest, your dear... You didn't like me anymore?
Oh, sure, Louis, of course I do. It's...
And you do not appreciate what...
Believe me, I appreciate all the help you've given me over the years.
Then you will see
Mr. Dollar.
Okay. I, look, I've got to make a plane, Louis.
You will see me.
Miss Dollar, please, you better hurry.
Yeah, yeah. But the real stopper came in New York when I changed for a plane to the coast and with barely time to make it.
Yeah.
Another of my old pals, another one I didn't want to turn down. Lieutenant Randy Singer of the 18th Precinct. But under the circumstances and with only seconds to spare.
But, Johnny, you've got to handle this one.
I'm sorry, Randy.
It's on the West Coast in California.
Which is exactly where I'm heading if I make the plane.
Well, that's good. So let me tell you where to go when you get...
Randy, please, I'll miss the plane. Send me a wire or something, huh?
That's your plane right here?
Yes, it is.
Well, then maybe I better climb aboard with you.
No such luck. This flight is full up. All right, here, here's my ticket.
Fine, sir. Good, right aboard. Thanks.
Well, I can beat you out there on one of the jets.
No space on them either. I tried it.
Want a bet?
Please, will you get aboard, sir?
Right.
So long, Randy.
Yeah. See you, Johnny. Yeah, pretty shabby, I guess. I mean, the way I treated some of the best friends I had. But what would you have done under the circumstances? Well, during the brief stop at Chicago, I sent telegrams to all concerned, telling them I'd call them the minute I could. Even a very long wire to Betty Lewis promising just about everything. Short of Paris, that is. And finally, when I pulled into L.A. and started to pick up my baggage and look for a taxi...
Johnny!
I couldn't believe it. My old contact from the underworld.
Yeah.
Smokey.
Yeah.
Smokey something.
Yeah, I'll take your bag. I got a car right over here.
You were expecting me? You?
Yeah, and a kind of poor old Cartwright.
Oh, hey, what's happened to him? What's this all about?
Johnny.
Yeah?
Johnny, I hate to say this.
Yeah?
Knowing how much you really care for that old man.
Yeah, yeah.
And after all the pretty awful crimes I've saw before I went straight.
Oh, come on, Smokey.
But what you'll see at Cartwright's place, oh, Johnny, you'll never believe it.
Constipation is something people don't talk about much.
Now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
On the drive into the Beverly Hills address of Mr. Cartwright, I tried to make Smokey Sullivan tell me what it was all about. But he had only one answer for me.
Oh, Johnny, you'll never believe it.
When we finally pulled up in front of the beautiful home on North Roxbury Drive, I jumped out of the car and tore on up to the front door. All right, come on, come on, come on.
What do you think you're trying to do, break in this house? Oh, Johnny.
Mr. Cartwright.
Johnny, I've been frightened to death.
What about, sir?
What about? I was afraid you wouldn't make it. That's what it's all about. But all those bodies inside...
Bodies? Where?
In the library, Johnny. Come. I'll show you.
Yeah, I think you'd better.
All over the floor. Just wait till you see them. Hmm.
Well, here. Isn't this the library?
Yes. Oh, dear, Johnny.
All right, now. Wait now.
Were you... Your gun?
That's right. Okay, now. Huh? Oh.
Look at them. All over the floor.
Mr. Cartwright wasn't kidding. There were bodies there, all right, half a dozen of them, sprawled around in awkward positions, as though some giant hand had suddenly struck them down. But why? And there was no sign of a struggle, not a...
What is it, Johnny? Oh, I mean, isn't it terrible?
Wait a minute. That's Pat McCracken.
I know.
And George Reed over here.
Well, he's still alive. Shall I call a doctor?
Yeah? Or shall I put him out of his misery?
What?
The gun, yeah. Earl Portman, over here. Buster Favor.
And me, Le Chagri, my dear, my darling friend.
All right now. All right, you guys. What is all this? What goes here?
Johnny.
Buster, so help me. All right, now listen.
Mr. Cartwright, will you take that gun away from him?
Randy.
That's right. I told you I could get a jet out of
you. Sure, we all came out on the same flight.
Earl, you son of a gun.
How are you, Johnny? Surprised?
Are you kidding? And Harry Branson.
Glad to see you, John. So this is why you wouldn't tell me anything, Smokey.
Yeah. Fooled you, huh?
Yeah. But come on now, what's the big idea?
Wait a minute. Now, will you stop waving that .38 around, Johnny?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pat.
Yeah, well, here, I'll take it.
Yeah, you better, Mr. Cartwright. That's all right, I'll put it back in my pocket.
I have it. Oops!
Down, boys, down!
Johnny. Oh, dear, I'm sorry.
Yes, you'd better be sorry.
Well, Johnny, it looks like we succeeded in getting you out here, all right?
Yeah, well, now, look, will somebody please start to make some sense and tell me what this is all about?
Why not?
Yes, why don't you speak for all of us?
Go ahead, Pat.
All right, fellas, I don't mind if I do. It's really pretty simple, Johnny. Today, Sunday, marks the end of 5 years in your present series of investigations for what... what we like to think is a pretty good lineup of insurance companies.
Happy anniversary, Johnny.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks. Now, it also, Johnny, completes 5 solid years of the broadcasting on CBS of these cases you have. Handled mighty well, Johnny. And you've performed a service throughout this country.
Oh, now, don't get stopped.
No, shut up a minute, will you? You've done a great service to the insurance companies, no question about it. Your broadcasting has helped to expose a lot of crookedness, fraud, that sort of thing. Has saved the insurance companies a lot of money. And that means it saved the people, their clients, the people who listen to your program every week. It saved them a lot of money, too.
Well, that's...
And purely incidentally, these CBS shows of yours have provided a lot of entertainment, a lot of pleasure to literally millions. In other words, Johnny, in other words, a lot of people think mighty well of you. And with very good reason.
Oh, no. But take it easy.
Oh, no, you shut up. But to get all those people together to say thanks, well, that's impossible, obviously. So I thought, we thought, that instead of just handing you... if we could somehow... fellas, I'm doing pretty badly, isn't it? Well, Johnny, I went over all your radio reports. I made a list of the people who've been most involved in your cases these past 5 years. And then when I made the suggestion to Mr. Cartwright...
That's right. That I told Pat that if he didn't let me give this party to do you honor... Then
honor?
Yeah, it would...
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Oh, no.
No. All right. I mean, throw a big fat brawl for you just to get it through that skull of yours.
Just to show you how much we love and appreciate you, Johnny. And that's why we're here.
I'm going to think of a better way to say it.
Well, you happy, Johnny?
Well, if you guys think I want to break up over this.
Yeah? Yeah, Johnny?
Oh, well, Pat, Mr. Cartwright, Smokey, Harry, Earl, Louie, Randy, Buster, George. Well...
Jules, Johnny.
Patty.
Oh, well, will you look at that? I just so glad to be
with you. Weren't they nice to let me in on it? And honest, honey, I won't ask you to marry me. Not yet.
Rancid, you are.
Now, will somebody break this up before we all start crying like a bunch of...
Well, Johnny, we just thought that maybe a gathering of your friends, your real friends, Johnny... I mean that.
And if there's anything you want, Johnny, this house, a nice yacht, a couple more cars, anything, Johnny.
Anything, huh?
Yes, sir.
More than this? Well, look, if I can somehow hold on to the friendship of people like you, that's all I ask. Believe me, it's the most that anybody could ask. Oh, mighty wonderful people, all of them. Some others, too. I mean, behind the scenes in the job of bringing you these radio reports week after week. The associate directors on the show, Kenny Hodge, Bob Shue, the announcer, Johnny Wall, the mighty wonderful technical crew, Bob Chadwick, Bill James, Tom Hanley, and I mean Jack Johnstone, our producer and director, he's the guy who makes it... How is that, Jack? Okay. But give them a lot of credit, huh? Because believe me, they deserve it. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Stop and think a minute. Just how well do you know the two presidential candidates? How fully informed are you on the main issues of their campaigns? Well, you can learn a lot about Vice President Nixon, Senator Kennedy, and what they stand for if you listen to Presidential Countdown, a special series of pre-election broadcasts presented each week by the Public Affairs Department of CBS Radio News. Don't miss this important, informative feature. Listen to Presidential Countdown every Tuesday night on CBS Radio. Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a yarn about the lust for gold and the things it can do to a man. The story takes place in the famous historical ghost town of Virginia City, Nevada. Say to the famous, almost fabulous Comstock Lode, where sudden death was all too often the price of finding a rich vein of gold or silver back in the middle of the late century. Or even today, there's gold to be found. And sometimes, murder. I think you'll like this one, especially the switch at the end of it. So join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Larry Dobkin, G. Stanley Jones, Harry Bartell, Dick Perrin, John Daner, Howard McNear, Marvin Miller, Forrest Lewis, and Herb Vigran. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is John Wall speaking.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Stay tuned to WROW Albany, New York, for a special news bulletin from Schenectady.